And Lord, I want to be the Christian you want me to be by your grace. Will you do that? And surely then that's the doing part of the hearing today. We're not to be hearers only, but to be doers of his word. If you're not saved today, may the Lord enable you to step out on the promise that the Lord will redeem and cleanse and keep. And if you're like what I was when I, prior to my conversion, you may be wondering, well, how could I keep myself as a Christian? You can't. Don't even try. But the Lord does. The Lord does. He does the keeping. When you commit your heart and life to the Savior, he keeps you. Kept by the power of God through faith. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining with us here on the program and Let the Bible Speak. And we have a little word here today for mothers, coming up to Mother's Day, and we do want to minister to moms, those that are raising children now or have already done so. And we're continuing that theme on the widow scraping her empty barrel that she might feed Elijah. And yet through it all, God provided for her. At the close of the program, we will be reading a son's letter or a message concerning comforting a dying mother. We have a mother's favorite hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it is old, he shall not depart from it. Here's the testimony of a mother who gave herself to raising children for God. A mother said one day, when my children were young, I thought the very best thing I could do for them was to give them myself. So I spared no pains to talk with them, to read to them, to teach them, to pray with them, to be a loving companion and friend to them. I had no time to indulge myself in many things which I would have liked to. I was so busy adorning their minds and cultivating their hearts with affections that I could not adorn their bodies in fine clothes, though I kept them neat at all times. I have my reward now. My sons are ministers of the gospel. My grown-up daughter is a Christian woman. I have plenty of time now to sit down and rest and keep my house in order. Plenty of time to go about my master's business, wherever he has need of me. I have 1,000 beautiful memories of their childhood to comfort me now that they have gone out into the world. I have the sweet consciousness of having done all I could to make them ready for whatever work God should call them to do. What a sweet, wonderful testimony to be able to give. I know many parents who have deep regrets about how they raised their children, how they failed to teach them in the Lord by providing them all the material things and yet neglecting their souls. And this is so important that parents give every hour of those precious years of raising children for God. It really is a very brief little window that God gives us to raise our children. Sometimes we think when infants are born and children are around our feet that we will never see them grown and these days will never pass. But I assure you, they pass oh so quickly. And those opportunities to mold and fashion boys and girls for the Lord will soon be over. And I would commend every mother who has given her all to raise her children for God. And we must pray that God, by his blessing, will use that tender spirit of a mother, that guide, that loving favor of a godly mother, to lead children into the ways of the Lord. And we must pray that God will use that influence in their childhood, in their adolescence, and in their adult years, that God may go before them as they would seek to serve God. So stay tuned with us now as we come to our hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
The Christian must never forget the pit from which she or he has been dug. And grace always brings us to ask the question, why me? Why this woman? And the Lord Jesus, he was asked about this matter of election and choosing. And he said in Luke's gospel, there were many widow women in Zidon. God chose one. Why me? That's grace. And you can never answer that question. And I don't think when we get to heaven we will answer that question, apart from looking into the heart of God, who is full of mercy and love. She was also chosen vessel in spite of being so poor, poor and impoverished, a widow living through a drought, brought to an extended famine. She was at the gate choosing two sticks. She was going to light a little fire to prepare the last of the meal and die. You read verse 12. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What use would this woman be to Elijah? How could God make this work? Surely if God is going to sustain this prophet, he would have sent Elijah to a rich family, a palace, an estate where the rain did not be withheld. There would be lush pasture and animals and plants and food to be had. But to send Elijah to a woman in the heat of the drought with an emptying barrel, a woman that was facing hopelessly looking at death, what is God doing? And you might ask that too. I do at times. What is God doing? And yet she, with her barrel and her cruse of oil, became the subject of one of God's most amazing miracles, sustaining herself, her son, her household, and the prophet for many days, because she was God's chosen vessel. We have to read 14 to 16 again. So please help me here. Just turn to your Bible and let's look at these verses and see how the narrative runs. Here is Elijah speaking to her, and he gives her this promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to, I want you to underline this, I want you to write this on your mind, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And sisters, ladies, mothers, we serve the same God today. Let's get this in our minds. This is not just a little fable from the past. This is written for our learning, for us to take to heart, because we serve the unchangeable God who can do this in our lives. And you know the statement, God is good all the time. God is good all the time, even when we can't answer certain questions. And God takes the poorest and he makes her a marvel of provision. Now that's true in the natural realm. God does certain miracles of provision. He can meet your budget. He can put food on your table. He can help you to pay your bills. God can bring to you those temporal physical needs to supply the necessities of life, and he does it all the time. God is good. But he also does it in the spiritual realm. God takes the least servant and shows his power. I thought of one, Amos. He was just a farm boy. He was a herdsman. Yet God made him his prophet. Then Jonah. If ever there was an ill-equipped, uneducated, insubordinate evangelist, was Jonah. When these young people come in July and we're trying to train them in some of the biblical concepts of evangelism, I'm going to say to them, when you read Jonah, do everything he should have done, not what he did. Don't do what Jonah did. And yet you know that Jonah was God's vessel. Why Jonah? You see, God so often takes the poorest and the most unlikely servant just to prove that it's God at work. Just to prove the point, it's God at work. And I see that here with this widow woman. If God had used a rich lady, if God had used someone that had plentiful supply of food to provide for a servant, we would say, well, so what? But this is the amazing introduction of God at work. And that's what the Christian life is about. And you know, God often even takes the littlest church, the smallest band of Christians. They're the weakest, most pathetic group in comparison to the big organizations of the world or of Christianity. And yet God makes them his vessel. Why? Because he chooses, and he's sovereign, and he loves to use the weak things to demonstrate his power. Let's never forget that. Mothers, in your home with your family, there'll be hours, nights, days when you feel the most unsuited, unfitted, weakest vessel. But if you're a chosen vessel, God will use you. God will use you. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you in the covenant of grace? Do you belong to Christ? Then you're a chosen vessel. You're chosen. And he will do with you his good pleasure to glorify his great name. Now, I'm halfway through the sermon, and people in my church know that I run out of time sometimes. I'm halfway through the sermon, and I've got a few things still to say. She was a chosen vessel. She was also a proven vessel. Now, I come to the point where Elijah was anything but a gentleman. It appears that way anyway. Here is this self-centered prophet arriving at the gate, and he has the audacity to say to this poor, impoverished woman, get me a drink. And when she turns to get the drink, and bring me some bread. And she explains, but I'm doing this for my father. Feed me first. And all these demands. And he makes her obedience to be the priority. Feed me first. And in this, we see Elijah to be the most thoughtless, arrogant man on earth. And he says, after, make for thee and thy son. After you've fed me, after you've met my need, then go feed your son and yourself and do whatever. It seems so heartless. But it was a test. He wanted to be sure this was the woman that God had commanded. And if God commands, he will prepare. And she would be obedient to his way. Does God always say to us, bring me first? Now, I'll take Elijah here as a type of the Lord. And does the Lord always say, feed me first? Obey me first, and then do for yourself what you need? That is true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Abraham was to obey first, going out, not knowing whither he went. The tithe is the first. The firstborn son was God's in Israel. That's God's way. Me first. And God has the right to say me first, because he's our creator. He made us, and he rules us. And he works out all things in us. Now, her faith in God's promise was required.
Now, there's an amazing little thing here, and I want you to see it between verse 13 and 14. I want you to notice that at the end of verse 13, the widow was not allowed, or at least not given opportunity to reply. You know, ladies want to get their response. Well, she didn't. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son, but no space for the widow to speak. Immediately, the prophet goes on to say in verse 14, no breaks, no opportunity to give a reply. Verse 14, for thus saith the God of Israel, and here's the promise now. Here's the hope now. Here's the assurance that if you put me first, God's going to supply everything that you need through this drought. Isn't that the lesson that we need to learn as Christians? That when we do obey and put God first, there's a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And here is the ongoing miracle. And just as God promised, it says here in verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Once she got that word, that promise, she had no more questions. She jumped into her role. She did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat. What does it say at the end of verse 15? Many days. It was supposed to be her last meal for two, although her household is mentioned, and we're not sure if there were others that required food. But then Elijah got in on it, and he got fed too. And if I think of Elijah a bit like John the Baptist, he would have been a big eater. Don't be putting down a little scone before Elijah. He's got an appetite like a horse. And he's going to dig in and eat. And that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil lasted many days. Here is God's amazing work. God's amazing power. This is God's way. And we need to learn this. Take it to heart. Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And that text goes on to say, and the peace of God, and the peace of God shall rule your heart and mind. Sister, do you want the peace of God in your life? Then do what this widow did. Put the Lord first, live on his promise, and enjoy his peace. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And your life is like this widow's life since you became a Christian. Since you became a believer in the Lord Jesus, you wonder, well, how am I going to face tomorrow? How am I going to meet and be a witness for the Lord? How am I going to keep up this testimony? He gives you the grace for each day. As the manna was given by the day, he gives you his spirit by the day and sustains you many days. And there are some of us here can look back over many, many, many days. God has sustained us and kept us on the firing line for God. But I have one last promise I want to give you, and I want you to take note of this, so I'll ask you to turn to it in your Bible. I'll not just quote it. Romans 8, verse 32. And here is surely the Gibraltar promise of the Christian. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I think of the emptying barrel. I think of the cruse of oil that did not run out. And you doubt, you question, can God do this for me? Can God do a miracle like that in my life? He's doing it. Every day, he's doing it. And as God gave his son to the cross, There is nothing too big, nothing too much, nothing too demanding that God won't take care of, that He will supply freely, freely all things. And it's all of grace and it's all of mercy. And the sermon's over. We've kept our time. But mothers, take this to heart. Would you take these promises to God in prayer today, tomorrow, this week? Would you come to the church prayer meetings and just open your Bible and say, Lord, I'm pleading these promises. I want to live the life of the one whom God chooses as His vessel. And Lord, I want to be the Christian You want me to be by Your grace. Will You do that? And surely then that's the doing part of the hearing today. We're not to be hearers only, but to be doers of His word. If you're not saved today, may the Lord enable you to step out on the promise that the Lord will redeem and cleanse and keep. And if you're like what I was when I, prior to my conversion, you may be wondering, well, how could I keep myself as a Christian? You can't. Don't even try. But the Lord does. The Lord does. He does the keeping. When you commit your heart and life to the Savior, He keeps you. Kept by the power of God through faith. Hallelujah.
Christian mother, I want just to encourage you today through this little account of a mother's deathbed. Dr. Arnott Walker, when a student in the Jefferson Medical College, heard Dr. Clarence E. McCartney preach a sermon on the text, Do Thy Diligence to Come Before Winter. The text continued to linger in his thoughts as he sat in his room. He decided, I had better write a letter now to my mother. Perhaps the winter of death is near for her. He wrote to her and expressed gratitude for her exemplary Christian life. 2 days later, while he sat in a class, a telegram was given to him. It read, Come at once. Your mother is critically ill. Hurriedly, he went to the country home. His mother was still living. A smile of recognition and satisfaction was on her face. Under her pillow lay a treasured possession. The loving letter her son had written her after the Sunday service. It had cheered and comforted her as she entered the valley of the shadow of death. No doubt God is a God of providence, and there are endless threads to how God directs us in this life. Can you imagine Dr. McCartney preparing that text, that sermon, choosing it out, preaching it to a large congregation, that young medical student sitting there, and God prompting him to write that letter to his mother in the country. And God used it. God used it to comfort the mother, and no doubt it was a last word of affection and attachment from that grown son to his own mother. And in such ways, God ministers to us all. May His word, may His blessing be your portion even today as you have joined with us here in this program. And I trust that this message from 1 Kings 17 on the widow of Zarephath who prepared a meal for Elijah, that the Lord will comfort your heart and give you His very richest blessing. Pray for that. Just pray and ask God to fill your heart with that joy of believing. Thank you for joining with us on the program. Stay tuned for these closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.